We're glad to present your speaker, Brother V. E. Howard.
Ladies and gentlemen, what is wrong with spiritualism? This is the question for consideration today as we continue our discussion of the occultism. Yes, we're continuing the discussion of these matters that concern the destinies of the soul of men. By spiritualism, we have no reference to that person that possesses deep spirituality and has put behind him the habitual life of carnal desires. Webster says, "Spiritualism is the belief that the dead survive as spirits which can communicate with the living, especially with the help of a medium." End of quote. It is commonly believed by spiritualists that they possess the power to intercourse with departed spirits through such physical phenomena as table rapping or during abnormal mental states out of this world trances. Through their professed communication with departed spirits, they claim to obtain messages, warnings, and prophecies for the living. The whole world of spiritualists is set forth within the framework of mysticism, ignorance, and deep superstition. It has all the necessary attributes to allow it to fit into the rather easily form of the occult movement. Remember that this movement is geared to the obscure, the mysterious, and the stupendous claim of supernatural powers. Spiritualists are not new upon the horizon of the religious errors or infamous isms. Spiritualism was a sin that confronted God's people in Old Testament times. What are known as spiritualists today, or mediums, were called necromancers, or familiar spirits of the Bible. The Bible condemns this sin in no uncertain terms. However, before I present the Bible condemnation, I wish to set before you, rather briefly, some modern manifestations. The childhood heritage of most of us includes the stories about ghosts and witches and goblins and headless horsemen, fascinating happenings that none could explain very easily. Quite frequently, children are told ghost stories for simple amusement. Most children are able to grow out of this and their whimsical ideas, just as they do about other things like cowboys and Indians. However, some grow into their adult years and never give up such superstitions. Thus, they become the prime candidates for some spiritualist to come along and enjoy a heyday in conjuring up the spirits of the departed who have a message from the dead for deluded man. Usually, a fee is involved. Money, you know. Many years ago, there were a couple of sisters who lived in a northeastern section of our nation. They greatly aided in the modern revival of spiritualism. It was their claim that they were in communication with departed spirits who answered yes or no to their questions through a rapping process on tables and walls and floors and etc. An acquaintance of theirs once confessed to J. Stanley Grimes the secret of their fraud. One writer, referring to this, said, "They developed the art of popping the knuckles and joints of their bodies in such a way that through contact with the floor, table, legs, and walls, and so forth, they were able to make it appear as though a spirit were answering with raps." A few years later, the two sisters confessed the fraud and spent some time lecturing to various groups concerning spiritualism. The great Houdini spent many years of his life exposing the fraudulent claims of spiritualists and mediums. He claimed that his tricks could be explained so that everyone of normal intelligence could understand them. He said that they were based on natural laws. But he challenged the spiritualist to perform any trick or feat which he could not duplicate and expose. The claims of spiritualism may be explained as either fraud, delusion, hallucinations, coincidence, or the power of the subconscious within the medium, in the quotation from Witchcraft, Spiritualism, Astrology, and Demon Possession, page 4 and 5. One of the better known actors in both movies and television productions claimed to National Enquirer in October 1974, and I quote, that he talks with the spirit of his dead mother and communicates through mediums with other dead relatives. In an interview with the well-known British actor in France, he is reported to have said, quote, It's astonishing how I have developed the power to hear their spirit voices. I reach a state similar to the trance, and then I hear a spirit, usually my mother's. His mother died in 1967 at the age of 72. This well-known actor suggests that he frequents the spirit mediums who aid him in getting in touch with his dead relatives. He relies a great deal on psychic advice and needs reassurance from his dead parents on his private and business life, the medium suggests. The British medium also suggests that this actor has been a serious student of psychic phenomena for a number of years. She says, he is constantly searching for new evidence to help convince others that there is a life after death, in the quotation. In a concluding statement, the actor summarizes his future hopes in spiritualism by saying, I'm hoping to further develop my powers to hear spirit voices so that I can ask more questions about the world beyond. My friends, hear me. Are you listening? If this gentleman is serious about the world beyond, why does he not look to the Bible? That is the only medium which sheds any light on a subject that is of interest to those who are concerned about eternity. Did you notice that there is not a single spiritual concept the actor claimed that he learned from his departed mother or his dead relatives? Does anyone really think, if spiritualism were true, that the spirit in the departed world of the unseen would encourage living relatives on earth to eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you may die? That surely was not the type of the message the rich man in Hades wanted back to his lost brethren on earth, as clearly revealed in Luke 16, verses 19 to 31. The Bible example does not reveal anything even remotely akin to mysterious, psychic, soundless communications claimed by the spiritualist. That is a great difference in fraud and reality. Ladies and gentlemen, does the Bible condemn spiritualism? Indeed it does, and with resounding clarity. Please do not forget that the spiritualists, as they are known today, were called necromancers and familiar spirits in the Bible. Isaiah, the 8th century prophet, is clear to the point when he says in Isaiah 8, 19 and 20, And when they shall say unto you, Seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that chirp, and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God? On behalf of the living should they seek unto the dead? To the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to his word, surely there is no mourning for them. Does King Saul and the witch of Endor incident offer any semblance of scriptural support for spiritualism? Not the very first shred. Saul had been forsaken by God. The evil monarch faced warfare from the determined Philistines. He was in a strait, and he knew not where to turn. Though in earlier life he had sought to eradicate the error of spiritualism from the land, now he turned in desperation to a woman who supposedly had these powers. He disguised himself, put on different raiment, and sought out the presence of the witch of Endor. He requested that she divine for him and bring from the dead the one whom he desired to approach for counsel. She promptly reminded the disguised stranger of what Saul had done to her kind and suggested that this stranger was placing her life in jeopardy by such a request. He assured her on an oath that no harm would come to her by granting of this request. At this point, the Bible says, and I quote, Then said the woman, Whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, Bring me up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. And the woman spake to Saul, saying, Why hast thou deceived me? Imagine one deceiver saying that to another deceiver. For thou art Saul. And the king said unto her, Be not afraid, for what thou seest. And the woman said unto Saul, I see a God coming up out of the earth. And he said unto her, What form is he of? And she said, An old man cometh up, and he is covered with a robe. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel. And he bowed his face to the ground and did obeisance. 1 Samuel 28:11-14. Then followed the conversation between the returned Samuel from his resting place in Sheol and the perplexed Saul. It is clearly obvious from this entire account in the sacred scripture of 1 Samuel 28 that the woman was clearly surprised that Samuel actually arose in their company. Such was not in harmony with the tricks of her trade. The returning Samuel did not attribute his coming back to any power or agency to the witch of Endor. In fact, the returned prophet ignored the witch in every syllable of his conversation with the rebellious monarch. Samuel's first words were, "Why hast thou," that is Saul, not the witch, "disquieted me to bring me up?" 1 Samuel 28:15. It is also interesting to observe that Samuel did not give Saul marital advice, how to take care of his physical heart, how to work for greater prosperity in private business, or have a drink. He was giving a message about Saul's rebellion, his infractions of God's will, and what lay in store for him and the people of Israel. In 1 Samuel 28:16 and 19, Samuel uses the term Jehovah seven times and pronouns relating to deity twice. All this in four verses of the scripture. The British actor, you recall, never referred to God either by name or in pronoun usage for even the first time. Do you wonder why? We know that Saul had this unusual experience. The Bible endorses it and assures us of its having happened more than 3,000 years ago. Today, all we have for assurance in regard of spiritualism is the word of the spiritualist. And that means absolutely nothing. My friends, as already related, the great Houdini challenged every spiritualist known, stating that he could reproduce any and every phenomenon claimed by the spiritualist and expose them as fraud. The account of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke 16 is one of the clearest presentations of the Bible, which refutes once and for all any claim of communication between the dead and the living. The Bible says, "Now there was a certain rich man, and he was clothed in purple and fine linen, faring sumptuously every day. And a certain beggar named Lazarus was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table, yea, even the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, that he was carried away by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died, and was buried. And in Hades he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now here he is comforted, and thou art in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, that they that would pass from hence to you may not be able, and that none may cross over from thence to us. And he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. But Abraham saith, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one go to them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if one rise from the dead. My friends, are you listening? If it is possible for there to be communication between the departed and those who are still living, why was not the doomed rich man permitted to warn his own brethren back home, lest they come to that place of torment? Abraham not only refused to allow any communication between the place of the departed dead and those back on earth, but answered the rich man with the fact that his brethren back on earth had Moses and the prophets to hear. The father of the faithful Abraham said the brethren should give heed to the voice of the Scripture and not to a departed man's message to them. My friend, observe the fact that if there could be no contact between the dead and the living, when there was only a partial revelation of God's will available, can anyone really think God would allow such today when we have all God's revelation available, the Bible, the Word of God? It should also be observed that the departed rich man did not want to advise his brethren about private business, what kind of wine to serve at their banquets, where to go for the next business venture, or what type of wife to secure in the future. He was thinking in terms of the souls and their eternity, not their materialistic ventures. Ladies and gentlemen, I can tell you that there is a message from the dead revealed in the Scriptures. It would be well for every living soul to hear this message. It is a message of repentance. Tell them to repent, lest they also come to this place of torment, was the message from the Hadean world. Yes, there is a message from the dead, a message of faith. In Hebrews 11:4, it is revealed, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he had witness borne to him that he was righteous, God bearing witness in respect of his gifts, and through it being dead yet speaketh." This example of faith and obedience of Abel is a message from the dead that needs to be heard and exemplified to all responsible men on earth. I can tell you that Jesus said, "Except you believe that I am He, ye shall die in your sins." John 8:24. Jesus also said, "I tell you, nay, but except you repent, ye shall all in like manner perish." Luke 13:3-5. Again our Lord said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Mark 16:16. This is the message we need to hear today, my friends. A message of life and destiny. A message of salvation. Are you listening? The New Testament is the finality of God's will to man, as you read in the Bible, Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2, and in the book of Jude. The Bible is all sufficient. If Paul could not speak about what he saw in paradise, or the third heaven, spoken of in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, does anyone really think God will allow the dead to tell what lies beyond the curtain of death? We need to prepare for death, not engage in fraud and deception about death.